Michael Swain of Fog.net joins us here on 580 Sports Talk for Jayhawk Weekly. Fog.net, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. Best place to go for all the hot goss, all the rumors, all the reporting about what's going on with the transfer portal and so much more. I'm all over the message boards all the time. I can't get enough. It is the best place to find all that KU information. It's only if you're a VIP over at 24/7 Sports. And of course, you can follow Michael as well on Twitter at mswain247. But Michael, while I thought we were going to start with basketball today, we've got to get to the football side. KU backup quarterback Ethan Vasco into the transfer portal. It seemed to me like he was next in line to be a long-term starter for KU. How did this end up happening?
Yeah, I think this is probably what it's going to be like going forward, right? You think about the quarterback position and the transfer portal, right? Guys don't necessarily want to wait until they're a redshirt junior to play. And you can't really either blame players for taking those opportunities, but I think that's really what it is. You look at the quarterback situation at Kansas, right? Ethan Vasco redshirted last year. He'd be a redshirt freshman this season. And let's say Jalen Daniels comes back for the 2024 season. Well, that would be Vasco's redshirt sophomore season. 2025 would be his redshirt junior season. So that'd be probably the first time he would really have a realistic chance of starting at Kansas would be 2025. And at that point, then he's got 2 years to play. And traditionally, right before the transfer portal, like that was kind of considered to be the usual time that a player would take over at a starting position. Well, now with the transfer portal, Vasco might be able to go find somewhere where maybe not this fall, but next fall he could start. And maybe even this fall he could get some playing time, right? I think learning an offense in fall camp is hard, so maybe not that situation. But this is one of those where it's tough for Kansas because he's a player that I think everyone around the program has raved about, right? Mackie Oldersleeve, who's about as important a figure as there is in the KU program outside of the head coach. You know, he's someone that said he could see Vasco leading the Kansas program one day. You know, Andy Koldenecki raved about him last week when he talked to him. So this is a guy that, in terms of the program, the coaches really liked, really thought highly of. And from the player perspective, it's kind of just modern-day college football. He wants to go play somewhere. I just don't know if you can really blame him for wanting that.
No, and I think that's entirely fair that, look, you only get so long to play, especially if you are a non-COVID year guy. You might as well go play while you've got the opportunity to, so I don't fault him at all. But then you end up in a situation, Michael, with KU, where you've got Jalen Daniels this year. Okay, great, you're set at quarterback. Jason Bean is your backup and maybe gadget guy. We know he's got just 1 year of eligibility left. And then, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's Ben Easters who's the last quarterback on the roster. And then down the pipeline, and I know this came up on my Twitter today, you've got Isaiah Marshall, who's class of 24, who I know there's a lot of hype around, but that's way down the line. And if Daniels doesn't come back, well, you're probably not starting a true freshman there. Do you have kind of an early glimpse of what the hierarchy going beyond 2023 looks like at quarterback for KU?
Yeah, I mean, they go to the portal if Jalen Daniels leaves. Like, let's just be straight about this. They'd go to the transfer portal and use the last two seasons of film, right, this upcoming 2023 season, what then would be the past season, and show quarterbacks, look at this offense. Look at what it does in terms of protecting you, right? Take a Jalen Daniels scramble play out of it, right? He didn't get hit that hard very much. So it's an offense that's quarterback-friendly, right? It doesn't put a ton of pressure on the quarterback to run out of the pocket, make plays. They can do that, but it's a good offense for a quarterback. And you can say you got Devin Neal coming back. You can basically return most of the offensive line, right? Dominic Cooney and Mike Nowitzki will be done after this year, but you look at the guard position that Kansas has. I mean, they've got two guys that could easily plug and play in there next year as well. So I think it's one of those things where they go to the portal and try and find a guy that has 1, maybe 2 years of eligibility left and really try and do that for 24 and 25 so that redshirt sophomore year for Isaiah Marshall is a time when he probably is, you know, the quarterback. Obviously, Lance Leipold will probably try and add some competition there so that it's not a walk in the park, because I think how often have we heard that phrase from, you know, Leipold that, hey, they want this to be a program with competition. So I think this, nobody's going to be handed anything, right? You look beyond Jalen Daniels, you know, if Ben Easters is still around, you know, he'll compete. And if they go and add a transfer, he'll compete. And whoever they go out and get will have to earn the job. But I do think that if Jalen Daniels does leave after this season, whether it be the NFL or whatever, you know, I think it's the type of thing where they just go transfer. And they'd be a pretty attractive destination if this season goes well for a quarterback transfer.
Michael Swain is our guest, covers KU for Fog.net and 24/7 Sports. You can also find him on Twitter at mswain247. He joins us every Tuesday for Jayhawk Weekly here on 580 Sports Talk. Let's flip over to the basketball side, Michael, as we are deep into portal season now. It's the offseason games-wise, but as you know, covering the team and covering college hoops, the season never really ends at this point. We'll get to the biggest fish out there, Hunter Dickinson, in just a moment, but I do want to ask about Nick Timberlake, who is a transfer portal guy, a graduate transfer, if I'm not mistaken, from Towson, who was on campus this past weekend. Sharp shooter, over 40% from three-point range. He's got 1 year left to play. What do you think KU's odds of eventually landing him are, and what would they be getting if he does end up picking KU?
Oh, man, the odds game is hard. You know, I think they're definitely in the mix for him, and I think it's going to be KU or really UConn who I think obviously visited Carolina before the dead period, but my feeling is that it seems like it's going to be KU or UConn. We'll have to see on that, but I think Timberlake's the type of guy that, you know, you think about it, right? Towson didn't necessarily have a big recruitment where he's got a ton of high major programs coming after him, so yeah, he's going to take his visits, and again, this is one of the situations where you can't blame the player for that decision. If he picks KU, I mean, that's a perfect guard, I think, for what they're going to be looking for, where he can provide spacing, he can shoot. I think he's athletic enough to play at the Big 12 level, and he's a guy that can play with DeJuan Harris. He can play with Elmarco Jackson, and I think there's probably a scenario in which he could play alongside Elmarco Jackson and DeJuan Harris. So in terms of his fit on the floor, I think it's great. I think it's probably a higher level Isaiah Moss. If I had to compare it to a past KU player, I think maybe a step above what Moss brought. But I think it'd be a really big get, and we'll have to see what he decides after this UConn visit, which will start this Friday.
Man, there is no bigger Isaiah Moss fan than me. So you are preaching to the choir, and I'd love to hear that. That is an angelic thing to say in that situation. Is he a starting caliber piece? And again, it's no done deal that he's coming to KU, but you know, yeah, we're at a stage where KU is in the market and hasn't brought anyone in yet. If he ended up being a Jayhawk, does that feel like a sixth man or a guy who might actually start on the perimeter?
I think it's the type of guy that would maybe start on the perimeter, but then play the 20 to 25 minutes and okay, maybe a sixth man would. And I think they would do that just to line up the minutes, right? Where then you can really get a nice rotation going with Elmarco and DeJuan, where you know, maybe you play DeJuan the first four, let him sit right after the under 16, bring in Elmarco, and then you take out Nick for a little bit, and then you kind of figure out whoever you want for the crunch time lineup. So I think it's the type of guy that, yeah, sure, he could be a quote-unquote starter. I'd be more interested in see if he's the type of guy that's out there finishing games, because how often have we heard Bill Self talk about, right? It's not about who starts the game. It's about who finishes it. And I know that Timberlake is a guy that could be a starter. I'm more interested to see, is he the type of guy defensively that can be out there down the stretch of these games? So I think he's the type of guy that'd be a really good addition for Kansas.
And, two, if you go back to the championship team in 21-22, not that Nick Timberlake and Remy Martin are anything like the same player. I mean, other than being a guard, they're not the same at all. But, I mean, we remember that year where Self kept saying, even when Martin was crazy hot, we like him coming off the bench. We like the five we have. He brings energy off the bench, a little bit of spark 4 or 5, 6 minutes into the game. Would that be the same kind of thing then with Timberlake if you're saying, yeah, he's your quote-unquote sixth man, but he's going to play a ton of minutes, that we like the defensive set we have at the start, then we can bring him in for a little bit of a spark off the bench?
I think it'd almost be the opposite, where maybe you bring Elmarco Jackson off the bench and say this is the guy that's going to go bring a spark in terms of being the ball handler. I think if Timberlake was the guy that came off the bench, I think, yeah, he'd fit that, right? I think he's the type of guy that can come in on the first two possessions, knock down two threes, get out of field house roaring, and all of a sudden you're looking at a Kansas, you know, 19-3 run that we've seen so many times inside of that building. So I think he's the type of guy that just is more of a, I hate the word fringe starter because that's going to demean what he could be, but it's just a guy that, hey, if he's starting, cool. If he's your sixth man, cool. But if he's playing 20 minutes a game to 25 minutes, I think you feel pretty good about that minute load for him.
Michael Swain is joining us here on 580 Sports Talk, covers the Kansas Jayhawks for Fog.net, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. It's Jayhawk Weekly here on the program. Go find Michael on Twitter as well, at mswain247. I teased it a minute ago. Let's get to the biggest name out there and one of the biggest names that has ever been in the transfer portal. It's the big man Hunter Dickinson from Michigan, and we talked a little bit about him last week, I believe it was. Right now, what's your feel on what kind of schools, not even necessarily specific schools, but what kind of programs you think Dickinson would be interested in going to, whether it's all about the NIL or it's about getting ready for the NBA or maybe wants to play for a championship? What do you feel like his lean might be?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, it's worth noting that, you know, he's playing things pretty close to the vest, and I think our Maryland publisher, Jeff Ehrman, does a really good job of kind of keeping a good touch on what's going on. He's got a really good connections in the DMV area. So I think for Hunter Dickinson, it's going to come down to kind of, okay, does he want to go and play close to home? Okay, if so, that's Maryland or Georgetown. Georgetown might, with Ed Cooley, have the sort of maybe NIL program to compensate him for what maybe he is looking for. I think Maryland obviously has a connection. His former high school coach, I believe, or AAU coach, I can't remember his name specifically, but he is now an assistant coach at Maryland. So there's a prior relationship there. If you want to look at, you know, Hunter being able to show off his skill set, I mean, Kansas in the Big 12 is something close to a perfect fit, right? I think a big man with his skill set, Bill Self, I mean, could do so many things with that and build an offense and build really a team around that. And he's the type of player that would be a game changer for Kansas. And I think they're going to really show him that. And I think there's no better players to look at in terms of the NIL market than someone like Grady Dick or even Jalen Wilson. Grady Dick being the high-profile freshman, right, came in very professional, right, did his work on the court, was also able to make a bunch of coin off the court. And Jalen Wilson, who came back to school, was the guy that helped KU win a national title and was one of the leaders of the team and was able to profit off of that as well. So I think in terms of messaging and the ability to recruit a player, Kansas has about as good of a pitch as anyone. It's really just going to come down to, does Hunter Dickinson want to come back to the Midwest and play, or is he going to want to go back to the East Coast and be closer to home and family for what could be his final year of college?
To play the hypothetical game, and I know we'll be playing this a bunch because who knows when certain guys will commit or when Hunter in particular wants to commit, but if he ended up committing to KU, if he buys into what KU is selling and he says, yes, this is the best place for me to spend my final year of college eligibility, how much would he raise KU's ceiling for next year, regardless of who else fills in the roster from the transfer portal? How much does a player like Dickinson raise the ceiling?
So much. I mean, it's a national title team. Like, there's no two ways about it. You look at what Kansas wants in the portal. It's a big man that I think Bill Self said, a little tongue-in-cheek, 20-10. Well, I mean, Hunter Dickinson got pretty darn close to 20-10 last year. And he's the type of guy that offensively, what was the thing that this last year's team lacked? The guy that when the other team's going on a run, you can throw the ball in the post and get 2 points easily and take 15 seconds off the clock, right? KU would have loved to have that against Arkansas in the NCAA tournament. And he provides that. And I think it's a skill set, too, that in terms of his three-point shooting, he's the type of guy that can maybe allow DeJuan Harris to attack the rim a little bit more than you saw this past season, where teams really started to pack the paint and really made it hard for DeJuan Harris to get paint touches. And that was the only way KU really was able to get paint touches last year. So he does so much for Kansas offensively. I think defensively, he'd be good enough for Bill Self. I think there probably be some games where maybe it'd frustrate Self a little bit, but I mean, he's the type of player that the skill set, being the anchor of the team offensively, being good enough on the glass defensively, that really would just elevate the team to a whole new level. And I mean, you want to talk about recruiting other players, right? You can say, hey, we got Hunter Dickinson, DeJuan Harris, who, you know, helped us win the national title, and then a McDonald's All-American and a Marco Jackson. I mean, that's a pretty good starting spot. And that's before we even mention someone like KJ Adams returning as a starter, Ernest Dude off the bench. Like, it'd be a really, really stacked team.
Final thing I've got for you, Michael, and we've got just about a minute here. You had a post over at Fog.net this week about when guys have committed to KU out of the portal in recent years, looking at Remy Martin and Kevin McCullough and Joe Yesufu and these myriad guys. So with that in mind and with the trends for KU in mind, when would you expect to have a clearer picture of this roster? Is it something that is truly up in the air, which with the portal it seems like everything is, or would you expect that given past trends, we can probably say late April into early to mid-May is when we will finally see some clarity?
Yeah, I think probably the end of this month. And here's the thing, right? Obviously, every player's transfer portal recruitment is different, right? Really, no two are the same. As crazy as that is to say. Now, the best players can wait because the best teams will wait, right? Remy Martin didn't go in the portal till May and committed to KU a week later. Kevin McCullough went in late April and committed to KU middle of May. So it is the type of situation where the best players can wait, and Hunter Dickinson, for all we know, could wait. He could also decide, I don't know when. I'm not even going to try and speculate because I have no idea. But I think it's the type of situation where if we get to late April and things are looking a little stale early May and it's not looking great, then maybe it's time to get worried. But man, it's just so hard to even consider any sort of worry at this point when, I mean, there's so many guys on the board still that KU's in the mix with.
Michael Swain covers the Kansas Jayhawks for Fog.net and 24/7 Sports and does it better than anybody. Go check out all of his phenomenal work covering KU there. You can follow him on Twitter as well. His handle is at mswain247, and he joins us every Tuesday for Jayhawk Weekly here on 580 Sports Talk. Michael, we appreciate the time as always, appreciate the insight, and we'll see if we can get any more clarity on, well, the KU quarterback situation or the portal coming up next week. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.